our pastor Lane Stockton.
Well, amen. I hope that is your song. You know for sure that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, because that's the only way you're going to fly away. It's through the Lamb of God. Let's go to Mark chapter 5. Good to see all of y'all this evening. Again, be in prayer about the Scripture Press Day. What the Lord would have me to give concerning that. It is an offering. I promise you, we are not going to ask you to give your name, address, when I come to your house. It will be given like a normal offering. You won't have to stand up and walk forward and put it in there. It's the offering plates and flat pass. And anything that's not marked tithe or missions will go to the print shop that day. Tithe is an easy thing with God. You know, our tax system is messed up, real messed up. We all know that. And God, He's made it really simple. God says here, I give you everything you got. Just give me back 10% just to show that you love me and you're going to be obedient. That's all He asks. You make 1,000, give 100. You make 100, give 10. You make $1, give 10 cents. It's very simple. That's just how God works. He's equal opportunity for everybody. Then will come time for offerings. We know offerings are different. Remember, Jesus was standing there at the table and they were given offerings. This lady, a widow lady, gave her 2 mites. Jesus said she gave everything she had. She gave greater than all the others. So your offering may be smaller in denominational monies, but greater in the sight of God. So pray. It's not a show. It's not put on a show. We're not doing this so we can say, wow, look what we did at the end of the year. We're doing this so we can be faithful at the ministry God has given Lock Haven Baptist Church. It was here when I came. To be honest with you, I knew nothing about printing. Nothing. Matter of fact, whenever we took a visit over there, my kids said, Dad, look at the big rolls of toilet paper. That's what we thought about. I didn't know anything about printing the ministry. It was something that God brought into our church years ago. And He has seen fit, to keep it running up to this point. So we're just going to keep being faithful with it. And so that's God, what would you have me as an individual, as a husband and wife, as a family, Lord, what would you have our family give toward printing your word? And every dime, not a dime of that money will stay in the church ministry. All of it will go to the print shop. That's how it's meant to be. So be in prayer about that. That's the last Sunday of this month. We'll have a fellowship afterwards. You hot, Sister Rena? I'm sorry. Y'all hot over here too? Let's do some jumping jacks and sit up. Run that heat out of me. Let's see here. Let's see what we can do. But after the morning service, we'll take up the offering. We'll have an afternoon meal here on the grounds. Just so you feel better, just get it in your mind. It's almost 70 degrees in here. Ain't that amazing? So that gets you headed in the right direction. After the service, we'll have a meal. We're going to enjoy the fellowship together. We'll come back and finish out and be in prayer for Brother Clark. Brother Clark's going to come down to preach for us from Gospel Light Baptist Church, Tallahassee. He's going to preach Sunday morning, Sunday night. That means his church is going to loan him to us for that day. So we're going to be in prayer for their church. And God will use the person that fills the pulpit to be ready to feed them and to preach to them the Word of God as they need to be fed as well. So be in prayer about that. Brother Clark is going to come in there. All right, Mark chapter number 5. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Mark chapter number 5. We're going to read just down to verse number 20. Not sure we'll get all the way done to verse 20. we'll just continue our studies till we get done with this portion. Maybe we'll get done tonight, maybe not. I think we will. It's all one thought, one line thought. It's about the demoniac of Gadara. And it's kind of fascinating, it really is. So let's start reading in verse 1, chapter 5, verse 1. The book of Mark, the Bible says, "And they came over unto the other side of the sea into the country of the Gadarenes. And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs. And no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him." Now this was a wild one. Verse 5, "And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. But when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him." You know, the Bible says that the devils believe and tremble. They're full of the devil. Matter of fact, close to 7,000 demons live inside this man. Close to 7,000. "But they came and worshipped." Isn't it funny that a man full of the devil come and fall down and worship Jesus? And many of us that are born again, bought by the Lord Jesus Christ, we get a little ruffled in the feathers, and get a little upset at somebody, and get crossways with somebody. We can't, I can't pray, I can't preach, I can't hear the priest, I can't do nothing. How? I mean, be careful with that. That's not the attitude of the child of God. It's not at all. The Bible says we know we pass from death unto life because we love the brother. You know, holding a grudge and hanging on to that bitterness is killing you. It's not bothering the other person. It kills you spiritually and physically. It really does. Grudge, it just brings, you know, blood pressure up. It makes you mad. You get in a rage. You might pull out of the parking lot mad. Squill out and get hit. I was reading the illustration. I don't know why I even stopped here, but I got it. The Lord just said, "Oh." I was reading the illustration the other day, and there was a family left out of church, got in the car, and the daddy was fussing about the preaching, fussing about the song service, fussing about how long it was, fussing about the offering being taken up, fussing. Somebody pulled out in front of him, and he was fussing. All the way home, got home, sat down to the meal, got ready, said, "Let's bow our head, pray." The daddy prayed, and a little five-year-old boy asked the daddy, he said, "Daddy, can I ask a question?" He said, "Yeah." "What is it, son?" He said, "Do you believe God hears you?" He said, "Yeah, I do." He said, "You think God heard you fussing about the preaching, fussing about the singing, fussing about that man that pulled out in front of you?" He said, "Do you think God heard you when you prayed?" His dad said in silence. He said, "Well, which one do you think God really believed?" He hears it all. You see, he says bitterness and sweetness cannot come out of the same spout. That was all free. That wasn't even in here. Reply, I didn't even write that. It's not even in here. I should get it for Adam, what? But seriously, that's how we are. And here's this man full of the devil, 7,000 legions. As a matter of fact, I think it's an accurate number, they say, is 6,686, if I remember right. I have it here somewhere. a Roman legion consists of 6,826 men. His name is Legion. Almost 7,000. Yet when Jesus showed up, he fell and worshipped him because even the devils believed and trembled. All right, let's read on before I get to rambling. Preacher, you've already rambled. What verse was we in?
7. And cried with a loud voice and said, What have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God. Now he's throwing God in this. Jesus, in the name of God, I adjure you by God that thou torment me not. This is serious writing here. I mean, I understand. You know, that's how sometimes we do. We get all mad and angry and upset, and then we throw God around. I posted a picture yesterday that said, I don't tell people that I'm a Christian. I want them to see Christ in me. Something like that. I don't remember exactly how it went. He threw God in him and the demons. I adjure thee by God. Verse 8. And he said unto him, Come out of the man, thou unclean spirit. And he answered him, What is thy name? And he answered, saying, My name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him much that he would not send him away out of the country. Now, you remember verse 10. The legion, the demon there, all those demons, they spoke with one voice and said, and he besought him much that he would not send them away out of the country. Verse 11. Now there was there nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and all the devils besought him, saying, Send us into the swine that we may enter into them. Forthwith Jesus gave them leave, and the unclean spirits went out and entered into the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. They were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and in the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Verse 15, and they came to Jesus and see him that was possessed with the devil and had the legion sitting clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil, and also concerning the swine. And they began to pray him to depart out of their coast. And when he was come to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but saith unto him, Go home to thy friends, and to tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee, and hath had compassion on thee. Verse 20, and he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all the men did marvel. Now, how many of you remember what happened in the last chapter when we finished up last week? What was the last portion we studied? Something came up. Big storm. A big, huge storm. Who told him to get in the boat and go over? Jesus did. Jesus told him to get in the boat. So Jesus knew the storm was coming. But what was the reason? Who came out of me? Jesus doesn't do things by accident, dear friend. He didn't tell them to get in that boat knowing there was a storm coming just so he can get out there and calm some storms. He wanted to get over here to this here man that had been possessed, troubled. This shows how much Jesus loves sinners. This shows how Jesus said, I'll leave the 99 that are righteous and go after the one. He went through that storm so he can encourage the disciples and show them his faith. But he had a purpose for getting over here. What is it over in John chapter 4? He told his disciples, I must need go where? To Samaria. What did he go down there for? Had to meet some woman. Had been married 5 times, or married once and living together the other times. It got to the point she wasn't even married anymore. She just lived. You mean Jesus would go and see somebody like that? Oh, yeah. Jesus went through all this so we could get to this here demoniac. And immediately, the Bible says, verse 2, and immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. And he dealt there, it was located on the east of the Sea of Galilee, down there at the south end. And they arrived there, got off the boat, and here comes this man. He didn't live in a house. He didn't live in a mobile home. He didn't live in a trailer park. He didn't live in a subdivision. His home was tombs. He lived in a place where dead folks were. Now, there's tombs, there was coffins all over the place.
Excuse me. Good
Lord. What was that? Man. Brother Carl, you better give me this one. I'm going to keep coughing. I'm just going to blow them out of here.
So he lived in this place of tombs, and Jesus went down there so he could make a difference in this man's life. Now, historians say that there was vandals that made the homes there, and they'd rob people, and there they'd rob the tombs. And this here man. Now, what are devils? What does the Bible call a devil? A thief. What says John chapter 10:10. Somebody know it? A thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. That's where he's living. That's his place. You understand something, dear friend? Lost people do what they do for a reason. They hang out where they hang out for a reason. They go places for a reason, because they're lost. That's what they do. So if that's what lost people do, we which are alive. The Bible does say that if we know Jesus, we're alive. We don't need to be hanging around dead folks, hanging around a place where the thieves and robbers are. Make sure where you're going that you're around the right crowd. Remember last Wednesday, I talked about the atmosphere. This guy was hanging around in some bad places. Hanging around people there that was thieves and robbers. I do believe personally that he probably yielded to temptation of sin. And then allowed it to begin to control him. Go over with me to 2 Timothy. Second Timothy. You see, you start preaching on the devil and things get all in your throat. I hadn't coughed all day, hardly. Hadn't gagged. Now I got snot running back down my throat. Second Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 26. But we're going to fight through this because I want you to see the love of Jesus. 2 Timothy 2:26, the Bible says this, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. You keep on fooling around with sin. Now listen, I don't believe for once that a saved person can be possessed. I do believe you can be obsessed, and you can be troubled and fooled around with. You can quench the Holy Spirit of God so much that you just wander around like the blind leading the blind. And the circumstances around you will be controlled by the devil to ensnare you. I believe this here young man, or this, I don't know his age, but this man we're talking about, this demoniac here of Gadara, I believe that he just kept yielding and yielding and yielding to sin until Satan literally had taken over his life. Can you imagine with me now? If being named Legion meant that he really has 6,000 and some odd demons living inside of him, he just kept fooling around with sin. Listen, if you're lost today, dear friend, and God has convicted you and just troubled your heart about your state of being, about your relationship with Him, dear friend, don't keep running. The devil wants you. He desires you. I mean, he really does. Satan has great power. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion, walking about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. This guy just kept on. Now, he wasn't saved yet. But Jesus come there for a reason. Jesus come there to do something in this person's life. If Jesus has already done something in your life, dear friend, why in the world would you keep fooling around with sin? Just tell me one good thing that sin has done for you before you knew Jesus. The wage of sin is death. That meant the sin that I was responsible for before I got saved was had a payment due. And if I didn't allow Jesus to pay that payment for me, if I didn't accept the payment of God through Jesus Christ by faith, I was going to give a payment for that sin. And that payment was eternal separation from God. It didn't do anything for me. It was pleasurable for a season. But one, when sin is done, it's destructive. Kills and destroys. Look at this guy. Living in a tomb. In a cemetery. I don't even want to visit a cemetery at night, Brother Byrne. If I had your job and they told me how to go over every night, I'd just say, listen, I'll go work at the museum. I'll work at night job at the museum. I'm not working at the cemetery at night. I'm sorry. I wouldn't. I'd go find me. I'd go bust rocks up in the quarry somewhere. Man, I don't want to be in the cemetery at night. Preacher, it's just dead bodies. I know that. But there's got all these here demons. Got all these things. What did when Jesus showed up, the demons ran to worship him. What did they say? We adjure you by God, don't torment us. They got to debate or bargain with the Lord. They asked the Lord, Lord, let us stay here in this country. Why? What is that, verse 10? I told y'all remember that? Verse 10? And he besought him much that he would not send them away out of this country. There is places, dear friend, that demonic activity is greater. And in this place, when you have one man that is possessed by 6,826 demons, and they request of God, Jesus Christ, the God master of his flesh, let us stay in this country. It's for a reason. It was a good place for demonic activity. There's good places for demonic activity around us, and we know where they are. Why in the world would Christians want to hang out where there's demonic activity? Why is somebody with God Himself living inside of us, would we desire to hang out in places where there are demonic activity? Why would we want to be reading material or watching videos or movies or shows or listening to music that has demonic activity? Why? These demons said, we ask that you let us stay right here. And then, do you understand this? Understand this passage. Jesus didn't allow that, but they said, there's some swine. Let us go that we may go into those bodies. Do you understand demons' desire to live somewhere, not just roaming the earth? Demons are real, dear friend. I don't know why we think they're just some kind of ghost little goblin thing that comes around at Halloween. Demonic activity is real. First off, they're in Galilee. Why was a bunch of Jewish folks having 2,000 pigs? I thought, you know, why would Jesus allow somebody's business to get destroyed? Brother Jim, I just had them two. And it was difficult. 2,000 pigs, and it seems they're just out there herded, just eating. Do you understand? The Bible had very plainly forbid the Jews to even eat pork. And here they are raising them for money. Oh, but preacher, they were probably selling them to the Gentiles. Well, that makes it right, doesn't it? That makes it right, doesn't it? That's why all those wicked CDs you got, it's not good to just sell them at a yard sale. Throw them suckers away. Amen. Well, preacher, I'll get $12 and I'll give $1.20 to the church. God doesn't need the devil's money. Amen. Well, what makes a CD wicked? Listen, I'm not going to argue with y'all about the beats and the music and the sounds because I don't know enough, but I know enough about lyrics. And any song that sings contrary to God's word needs to be left alone. I'm not going to argue with you about your beats and all that and the harmony and twisting of the melody and the drums and all that. I'm not here to argue with that. I've got enough sense to know that if we just allow God to remove the lyrics, man, that's over. That's well over four quarters of the battle. Four quarters, preacher, four quarters make a hole. You've got it. Put the pencil to it, math it up, and add it up. Four quarters makes a hole any day you go. Anything, any of those videos, and you listen, oh Lord, preacher, you're meddling with us. No, I'm talking about demonic activity. Any of them television shows you're watching, oh, y'all be mad at me for 6 weeks, but I love you. You can be mad. Get glad the same way you got mad. Harry Potter's of the devil. Amen. Vampires of the devil. Amen. What else? Miley Cyrus is of the devil. Whatever her name is. Zombies. Why do you want to walk around with the Grateful Dead? You're alive! Y'all right, Brother Jim? Make sure y'all okay. I don't want y'all to pass out on me. Ask me, can y'all run down and get some swine? I don't have no more pigs. I sold them. Y'all can't go get in my pigs and run them down to the creek and kill them. It's not okay. And Jesus, listen, Jesus is not about destroying anybody's business. God said it's if you don't work and provide for your family, you're worse than infidel. He wasn't against the business. He was trying to get their attention. You're not fixing to be my people and do work with the things that I have forbidden. There's cost. But preacher, they done put a lot of money in the feed. They done paid those people that was hurting them. They done paid. Listen, I promise you that they were probably hired out Gentiles. It was the feeders. It doesn't say that. So, when you're doing your business, we need to understand something. It is not okay for God's children to be mingled up with children below. It's not okay for you to make a dollar out of wickedness. It's just not okay. Not okay at all. Yeah, I'm going to move on. Y'all might not even let me leave church tonight. I'll be like Stephen up in there, Adam. They might start biting on my ankles. What man could do for him? They bound him. They put chains and fetters on him. They let him live out in the tomb. They didn't even bring him any food to try to be kind to him or gentle to him or try to even woo him back into things. They left him out there. When Jesus showed up, Jesus cast out the demons. The demons go out of him. Jesus did all that man could not do. I'm going to be honest with you, ladies and men. There are some things your spouse cannot do for you that you're going to have to depend upon Jesus. Now, they're your helpmeet, they're your completer. But you cannot rely upon them for 100% of your joy. Because there's going to be times that as humans interact with each other and they get to interact with each other, that there's a difference. I don't know about you, but I am so thankful that I didn't marry somebody just like me. That'd be awful. I have a hard time living with me as it is. Could you imagine if she was just like me? Lord, have mercy. It'd be horrible. See, it made us different. And there's times that I cannot meet my wife's joy. There's times I can't meet her happiness. But God will always. See, man tried to bind him up. That's what men do to us. They bind us up. They try to entangle us there. But the Lord, oh man, he moved in, cast him out. Where'd they find him? Seated at his feet, clothed in his right mind. Can you imagine with me just for a moment, 2,000 pigs running off down into the Sea of Galilee? Pigs make an awful noise when they get scared. Just one. 2,000. Can you imagine the ones that were there, the feeders, the herders, the whatever they call them, that were watching over this big herd of 2,000 pigs? All of a sudden, they jumped up and they're gone. What are we going to tell our boss? They did go back and tell. They were honest enough to go back and tell. I don't know about you, but I'd probably got me a ship. So, hey, but why don't we go on back over to our country? Because they're not going to be too happy. 2,000 pigs? Dead? They went back into town, told the people of the town, told the owners of the pigs, the people of the city, the owners of the pigs. They come out to see what happened. And they get out there, and here's Legion. They were scared of him because they tried to bind him with chains and fetters. They didn't want nothing to do with him. They let him sleep out into a cemetery. They find his clothes in his right mind, seated at the feet of Jesus, and they tell Jesus, you need to get on out of town. You know what was wrong? There's word more about that money. He done messed up their business. You know, when we get contrary to God, we get contrary to the Word of God, the preaching of the Word of God, and straight biblical teaching, you know what happens? It messes with our want to. Our want to gets out of whack. Has everybody here got a want to? You know you do. Because we do what we want to, and we don't care the price of it. Now these folks come out here and they're mad and they're running Jesus off. Upset because their income has been touched. These evil swine, the owners. You have to know it. Now, I don't have time to go back and study it, but Leviticus chapter 11 really gives us insight on what God thought about swine for the Jewish people. Now, we're under grace. I pray for every meal that I eat. And God said, whatever I pray for, I can eat. And I love bacon. I love pork chops. I love meat in general. And if you're a vegetarian, that's okay. I'm okay with that, really. I am. Don't bother me at all. But I like meat. I'm not under law. Unless it's been offered to an idol. Then I have to abstain. And that means deer meat, pork, cow meat, kangaroo meat, whatever. I'm not under that. But there's principles here that God wants us to see. There's principles here in this passage that God desires for us to see. We're not going to make profit going against the Word of God and be able to keep it.
Well, preacher, I know people who have lived wicked all their life, and they were deacons, they were song leaders, they were preachers. They died with all their wealth. Naked you came to this world, naked you'll go out. Oh, no, they're going to bury with mine. Yeah, I bet. They'll bury you with it. It'll still be right there in the earth. And you're going to stand before God, and you're going to give an account of what you've done in this body, whether good or bad. The only thing that's going to last is things that have been done with right motives, right by God, and right by the things of God. The rest of it's going to be wood, hay, and stubble, going to be burned up. You see, we got this here all wrong. Wealth, real wealth, is in eternity. If you don't believe me, look in Luke chapter 16. The rich man, he fared sumptuously. That's like having a banana pudding, you know, sumptuously. And it's all yours, all bites, that sucker's that big around, you get it all. You just eat it all. Sumptuously. Fared sumptuously. He had everything he ever wanted, but Jesus. And in hell, he lifted his eyes. No beggar guy, he had dogs licking on his sores. He didn't even get a crumb from the guy's table. Probably got pushed around whenever the guy come out the gate. The butler guy probably pushed him on. Get on there out of the way. Why don't you go on down yonder somewhere? But walked on streets of God. Spent time with Jesus, even up until this very moment I'm speaking with you. No more did a dog lick his sores because there was no more sores. See, real wealth is up there. Real wealth's up there. Then the Lord converted him, changed him, made him a new man, and calls for him to surrender. Verse 18, we're going to finish real quick. He wanted to go with Jesus. I mean, I probably would have too. I mean, they didn't want him around. They didn't care nothing about him, but Jesus had a job for him. Verse 18, the Bible says there in verse 5, chapter 5. And when he was coming to the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. Howbeit, Jesus suffered him not. He said, no, you're not coming. Verse 19. But said unto him, go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him. And all men did marvel. Has Jesus done something great for you? Has he done something really good for you in your life? Who you told him? Who have you made it known to? So we're to be busy about sharing the goodness of God, the compassion of God. It didn't say, Brother Jim, do you see anywhere it says all men got saved? They marvel. Brother Josh, you know the Bible says that men should see our good works, that our good works might glorify God. They marvel. It's just not our job to convert. It's our job to water the plant, testify, bring glory to God. What has God done for you in your life? Think about it. Just think over the last, in 2016, what God has done for you. Have you told anybody? The Bible says, let the redeemer of God say so. See, we've got to get to the point where we understand something. God has given us a commission. Go ye into all the world. Preach the gospel. Preacher, I don't know the Romans road. I don't know the Ephesians highway, the Philippian bypass. I don't know all them scriptures. I challenge you to go study the life of Paul in the book of Acts. Everybody you talk to, he gave his testimony. He told them what Jesus did for him. He didn't share the Romans road with them, the Ephesians bypass, Philippians highway, whatever you want to call it. He let them know what Jesus did. All the scriptures, as you study, you'll have them in your heart. And the Bible says the Holy Ghost of God will come and bring them to remembrance. And when you need that scripture to share with somebody, God will prompt you with the scripture. But you got to take them.
You got to start telling. You got to start sharing what Jesus has done for you. Because there's a whole city around us that needs to know how good God is. They don't know. You know what they know? What the media tells them about religion. What do you think the media is telling them about religion? We're hateful, we're mean, we're mean-spirited, we're unkind. We're archaic. We're Bible holders. We live in the dark ages. We drag our women around like cave women. That's what. I didn't see one lady get drugged in here by the head of her hair. Now, I've seen some of you men come in that it looked like your wife had been a little bit on you. They need to know the goodness of God. Nobody they're going to know is if you and I share what God's done in our heart. Well, preacher, if I was naked, if I was in a demoniac state and I lived in a tomb and Jesus come in and you know, clothed me and sit me at my right mind and you know, made everything right, I would. You were dead in trespasses and sin. You were already in a tomb. You weren't in your right mind. Why? Because you were at enmity with God. When you got saved, He quickened you that were dead in sins and trespasses and made you alive, gave us a divine nature and the mind of Christ. He's done the same thing for you and I that He did for this man. You know what He did? He made him a child of the King. If you're a child of the King, why don't you speak up for him? Father, we love you. Thank you.